What is going on, Swoopers? Welcome back to another episode of Swoop Luke. In this episode, we'll be reviewing that amazing, emphatic win against the Power. Let's get into it. So on Saturday afternoon, Collingwood faced off against Port Adelaide at the G. Beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon footy. Both teams were coming off really impressive round one wins. And look, like I said in my preview for this game, I didn't really have this pegged as, something that was going to be a sort of blockbuster sort of game. But, you know, going into this game, I started getting more nervous than the Geelong game because of what Port Adelaide were able to do to a Brisbane team that was just stacked, right? Premiership favourites sort of, you know, before going into round one, Port absolutely demolished them. And we go into this game thinking, okay, this is going to be a bit of a coin flip. And the game did start off like that. It was pretty much goal for goal. Port Adelaide kicked the first one. And there was a little bit of, you know, sort of those defensive errors that Collingwood, you know, aren't really prone to, but sometimes they get caught up in the moment and we give off a little bit of that. It was, you know, another one came from a 50-meter free kick and stuff like that. But after those first couple of goals have been kicked, when the team's exchanging sort of blows, the Pies just put their foot down, and from maybe like the 10-12 minute mark of that first quarter or thereabouts to the start of halftime, it was just scintillating Pies football that, and I tweeted about this, gave me 2011 vibes. And when I say 2011 vibes, I mean, I remember going to games in 2011, and I've mentioned this in so many other videos, but I remember going to games in 2011, more so than in 2010, and being like, okay, I can sit back. When are we going to kick 100 points by? Is it going to be the start of the third, you know, end of the third? Can we get to 100 points, you know, by halftime or something like that? It was, that 2011 team to me was better than the 2010 team. Obviously, we ultimately go on and lose the 2011 grand final, but what I'm saying is that football that we were playing throughout the season was just fast, attacking, beautiful. It was just exhilarating. And these last two games, the Geelong one, but mainly this Port Adelaide one, has just been that same sort of football with Fly's brand on it, obviously. But it's just been, oh man, I really can't describe it other than just exquisite, exciting football. It's so quick. It's so, I keep saying exciting because that's all it is. You know, Fly came out in his presser and said, we don't want to be the Harlem Globetrotters with all the little moves that we're doing and stuff, but we want to be fun to watch. And we are so fun to watch. I've never had more fun going to the football and watching my team play than this last year and a half. After kicking 8 goals in a row against Geelong last week from the third quarter into the fourth, we kicked 9 goals in a row. From the first quarter going into the second, which is outstanding. You know, I always think like, we're 20 points down or 30 points down or something like that. You'd be like, oh, are we going to be able to peg them back? But when you see that we can put 8 goals and 9 goal run-ons, it's just crazy. And, you know, we were just so dominant around the ground. And you see that with the end stats. We smashed them in contested possessions, smashed them in clearances. Now, you got to think that we were ranked 17th for clearances. And I know Tom Mitchell coming in, I think he had 9 or so clearances. I haven't got all the stats in front of me, but he had, you know, somewhere close to that. And that does help. But it's like everyone has just shifted. It's like a shifted priority. And we're thinking more holistically about these clearances and what we're to do with the ball and stuff like that. And we just smashed Port, who have a really good and deep midfield, you know. It's not like we're going there and smashing the Suns by 30 clearances or something like that. Port have a really good midfield. They showed that last week against the Lions. We were just able to do it better for longer as well. They tried tagging Nick Dacos, Lockie Jones. Nothing. It didn't eventuate at all. Nick Dacos had the run of the mill, kicked 2 beautiful goals, combined with his brother for close to 60 disposals. They combined for nearly 1,200 meters gained. Josh Dacos, you know, there's all this talk about Nick Dacos. Josh Dacos is phenomenal as well, right? We saw it. He excelled on the wing and he's only gotten better. His kicking is elite. He kicked 2 really nice goals himself as well. Darcy Cameron had a really great game going up against Dixon, and who else do they have in the ruck? whoever else they sort of have in the ruck. One guy I do want to talk about is Billy Frampton. Now, Billy Frampton wasn't this sort of big name star. He played for Port Adelaide, only played a couple of games. Played for Adelaide, only played 20 or so games, and then came to Collingwood, and everyone didn't know what to think besides, this guy's going to be the new whipping boy. He didn't impress too many people during the preseason, but these players are role players and they get their job done. They're not like a Nick Daigle or a Scott Pendlebury. They're role players. They know what they need to do in the team. They get the job done. What happens is Billy Frampton goes on, plays against Charlie Dixon. He was a bit shaky at the start, gives away that 50-meter penalty to Charlie Dixon. Charlie Dixon kicks a goal. But other than that, what he was able to do was lock down one of their key forwards. Todd Marshall only kicked two, remember? Anthony from the pair said Todd Marshall's going to kick six if he goes up against Billy Frampton, and that just didn't happen. But like I said, a role player, does his job, got a bunch of intercept possessions, took five marks. He can hit a target as well, which is really nice, and he's a big, tall player. We say, oh, Nathan Murphy can play tall. Brayden Maynard can play tall. Billy Frampton is tall, which really, really helps us. And Darcy Moore takes 10 intercept possessions, which is a game high. And that's what Billy Frampton allows Darcy Moore to do. And, you know, other defenders, Darcy Moore doesn't have to be that lock-on defender. Darcy Moore can be that floating intercept defender like we know and love. And, you know, he has an Australian Guernsey for being that intercept defender. We had 14 individual goal kickers, which is incredible. I think in the first quarter we had 7. You know, Mychek kicks 3, McCreary kicks 2. McCreary's just turning into a really, really great player. Elliott kicks 2. Bobby Hill is just electric. He does exactly what he needs to do. And all of this, maybe I'll get the stats up. Let's see. Jordan De Goey didn't have a really, really good game. Jordan De Goey only had 12 disposals. He gained only 130 meters, 6 tackles. And yeah, that's pretty much, and one goal. So we did this on the back of, you know, Jordan De Goey played a really good game against Geelong, but we did this on the back of Jordan De Goey not having a dominant game and not being one of the star players. And so imagine if when he's firing again, he did what he needed to do, but he wasn't that guy that was collecting 30 disposals and kind of dragging the team sort of across the line like he did last week. So Jordan De Goey was down, but Taylor Adams had another good game. Yeah, 6 clearances, 5 tackles, 280 meters gained. Like I said, with the inclusion of Mitchell, Taylor Adams' role just goes to another level. And like I said, he's just gut running. He's quicker. He's playing a different role, still kind of the same, but a different role. And that's thanks to the acquisition of Tom Mitchell. I remember when Craig McRae was signed. Signed his contract and was doing the media press before the start of last season. He came out and said something like, it doesn't matter if we're 60 points up or 60 points down, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep chipping away at the scoreboard or whatever it may be. Collingwood now, probably mainly thanks to Jared Wade, have just got this ability to obviously close off games, you know, try and play those four quarter games. And you see that epitomised by John Noble being able to run down, I think it was Georgiadis in the last quarter. There was probably like a minute and a half left or something like that. And he just was running him down like it was the first quarter and they were just about to kick a goal or something like that. These players' never say die attitude is second to none in the AFL. And I know you're probably thinking, okay, we didn't really play four quarters because that third quarter, Port Adelaide came in. I think they had about 6 or so inside 50s in the first 6 inside 50s. They weren't able to capitalise. And we only kicked 2 goals to Port Adelaide's 3. And it was one of those quarters where we just did what we needed to do. Especially we had that bit of a buffer going into halftime and stuff like that. Just did what we needed to do. And that's all you can ask for. And then, you know, in the last quarter, we kind of go back and start dominating. But it is just, I'm going to say it again. It's just exciting. It's just electrifying to watch, especially to watch live. It is on an another level. And a 71-point win, we haven't done that since round 22 in 2016 against the Gold Coast Suns. And that was when, cast your minds back, that was the Jesse White era of Collingwood 2016. So that was the last time we put 70 plus points against a team. And we kicked over 80 points to halftime. We haven't done that since the Kangaroos game in 2018. So we're breaking records. And last week, 125 points. This week, 135 points. So I think the last time I checked, we were the highest scoring team so far this season, which is just a testament, you know, a testament to what we've been able to do, what the coaches have been able to do. But look, it is amazing. You know, they've got us as premiership favourites. I think we're playing $5.50 at the moment. It's only round two. I know sometimes I get a little bit ahead of myself and say the lid's off and stuff like that. The lid's off directly after a win. And then, you know, it goes back on. Bunnings, please sponsor me. And then it goes back on. And it is what it is. You can only beat who's in front of you and you can get excited by what we're playing. And it's not like we're just beating teams and not really having any sort of game plan or anything like that. We're like, we're just beating teams. This game plan is going to stack up. We saw it stack up last year. It's going to keep stacking up this year. Next Friday is a huge test against Richmond, who had to, you know, Adelaide sort of came back and Richmond ended up winning that game. And obviously they drew in the first game against Carlton. So that's going to be another test in front of probably another 90,000 people at the MCG on a Friday night. But it's a long season. It's a very long season. There's still like, 20, 21 rounds to go because of that. They added the extra round because of gather round. And Melbourne won their first 10 games last season and look where they ended up at the end of the year. So it's a very long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But I am loving what I'm seeing. I am absolutely loving what I'm seeing. And I just can't wait to see this week in, week out. And I know we're going to lose games. I know we're going to drop some games. I know we can't go. I would like to go the whole season without losing a game. That'll be, you know, amazing and a very rare feat. But look, I know that's ultimately going to be what it is, right? But what we're seeing now is the most exciting, and there's that word again, exciting brand of football I've ever seen, in my opinion, I've ever seen Collingwood play. And, you know, it's all thanks to Fly. So, and his coaching and his assistants, but it's an amazing time to be a Collingwood supporter. What can I say? Look, guys, let me know your thoughts down below. What did you think of the game? What was your highlights? What were your lowlights? Who impressed you the most? And leave all your thoughts down below. But until then, like, comment, subscribe. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your pets. And until next time, Double Shakers, I'll see you later.